All right, let me jump on into today's Right Side Way opening monologue, and I'll remind you guys, as always, that Stan McDonald, partner at the law firm of Wilmer and Lee up in Huntsville, longtime practitioner of law, longtime conservative, daily sponsor of the Right Side Way, and I'll tell you more about Stan McDonald here in just a few minutes. All right, let's kick it off by me saying this. It's important, in my opinion, it's important to hear words of hope from those who are in leadership. I mean, it's one thing to have a leader who wants to point out where things could have been done better or done right or done differently. But the fact of the matter is sometimes people need to hear the guy in charge give you words of hope, speak life into the moment, if you will. People need to hear things that are going right, going well, going in the right direction. And I don't mean like platitudes or false hope or attaboys. I'm talking about telling it like it is. And when there's a time of difficulty, to remember how important it is for the larger body to hear from the one at the top that things are going to work out. And I'll be honest with you, I think President Trump gets that. Now, he will call a spade, but he never hesitates to say when things are right. Yesterday was a classic example. As President Trump stood with nearly 24 world leaders to herald the signing of a major peace agreement unlike any seen in modern years. As Israel and Hamas agreed to end their fighting and hostages returned to their homes and loved ones, President Trump spoke to the Israeli Knesset. And he lauded Benjamin Netanyahu, he congratulated the people of Israel, he thanked the key members of his own cabinet, and then he said this to the world. He said, quote, "It will be the golden age of Israel and the golden age of the Middle East." He said, "This is not only the end of a war. This is the end of an age of terror and death and the beginning of the age of faith and hope and of God." That's powerful. He went on then to extend the olive branch even to the people of Iran. Now, those are amazing words. Not every president in recent years understood the value of speaking life into the moment. Some have actually chosen to abuse the ability to speak to the masses. Biden certainly did. I'll remind you about that more in a minute. But first, let me talk about history. Let me talk about what happens when people communicate or abuse the right to communicate. Because there's an amazing anniversary coming up in the next couple of weeks. The anniversary of something that happened literally 87 years ago this month, 1938. On the evening of October 30th, 1938, and keep in mind, at that time, radio was just it. There was no TV, no internet. It was print newspapers and radio. That was the means by which the majority of the civilized world got their news. And if it was live reporting, if it came by a voice over the airwaves, well, on that night in the late 30s, Orson Welles was trying to drive up his own listening audience, and he felt the need to shake things up a bit. So taking a cue from an H.G. Wells novel, Orson Welles and his staff wrote a radio-based play that sounded so real, so terrifying, that mass hysteria broke out in parts of the United States as people truly believed that the Earth was actually under attack by invaders from outer space. Now, it may sound sort of ludicrous now, maybe the butt of some jokes or something that would cause some of you to roll your eyes, but in 1938, people had actually come to trust the ability of radio to deliver messages that they needed to hear. And Orson Welles, well, he mixed his broadcast with sounds of chaos. There was like fake live reporting from the scenes of the fighting, news reports indicating the U.S. Army was engaging the enemy, quick interviews with astronomers confirming that multiple observatories had witnessed unexplained phenomena coming from outside our atmosphere.
When someone you love is facing cancer, you want to do more than send a card or flowers that will wilt in a week. You want to actually help. That's where the Balm Box comes in. Our care packages are built from research with over 500 cancer patients and caregivers, packed with items people actually use during treatment. Think soothing, practical, thank goodness I have this kind of relief. For you, it's not just a gift. It's a way to show up in a moment where words fall short. For them, it's comfort, calm, and a reminder they're not alone. From chemo-friendly boxes to mastectomy recovery kits, even options for men, we've made it simple to give something that's elegant, premium, and genuinely useful. And yes, domestic shipping's always free on orders over $50, because making someone feel cared for shouldn't be complicated. So skip the empty get well soon. Send real help, real comfort, and maybe even a laugh. Visit thebalmbox.com. That's thebalmbox.com. Balm, like healing and care. The Balm Box. Because cancer patients don't need bouquets and brownies. They need balm.
Metal objects were said to be crashing to Earth, disgorging tentacled, leathery creatures that shot fire from strange weapons. At one point, claims were even made that New York City was being evacuated. And then, to cap it off, a person sounding remarkably like President Franklin Roosevelt actually began to address the nation, saying, "Citizens of the nation, I shall not try to conceal the gravity of the situation that confronts the country, nor the concerns of your government in protecting the lives and property of its people. We must continue," he said, "the performance of our duties in every one of us so that we may confront this destructive adversary with a nation united, courageous, consecrated to the preservation of human supremacy on this earth." I mean, y'all, it was something. And people were up in all kinds of consternation. In real life, it is said that all across the United States, listeners reacted. Thousands of people called their radio stations, the police, newspapers. Many in the New England area loaded up their cars and actually fled their homes. In other areas, people went to churches to pray. There were people that were improvising gas masks. There were said to be miscarriages and early births being reported, presumably because of stress. Deaths were reported but never confirmed. Many people were hysterical. They thought the end was actually near. To say the public was outraged when the truth became known is an understatement. I mean, there were even lawsuits. It was evidence of what some have termed a mass formation psychosis, which is known as the mass acceptance of a message designed to panic or shape behavior. Well, here's the thing. The collective psyche of the American public was a bit fragile at that time. That was 1938. One recounting of the event on History.com says, "Fear and anxiety had become a way of life in the 1930s. It took very little to rattle the jittery Americans. The Depression had already emptied their wallets, the gathering crisis in Europe was threatening to ignite into a war, and just weeks earlier, the hurricane of 1938 had roared ashore. Plus," he said, "the Hindenburg disaster. That had been broadcast over the airwaves just the year before, and it was still fresh in people's minds." All right. Orson Welles and CBS learned some hard lessons that night. But there are lessons, though, that need to be relearned, especially here in the modern era. In a day and age when politicos and pundits and protesters have worn some portions of today's society into a series of raw wounds, where Democrats seem to be willing to get up there and say anything at the microphone, claiming that there are Nazis and thugs everywhere, claiming that there's no end in sight to the idea of tyranny in America, just saying anything and everything to wound people with it. Over the past few years, we've seen BLM and Antifa loot and burn with impunity, elections procedures and results of the elections falling into question. Inflation was at 40-year highs at one point, the debacle of the Afghanistan pullout, unless we overlook the more egregious and injurious of it all, there was the COVID pandemic and all the resulting power grabs and shutdowns and economic malaise. So yeah, I would say, having said all that, in light of my opening statements about Trump speaking life into people, it's important that people hear messages of hope once in a while. Now, remember the speech by former President Joe Biden? One of the worst examples of fear-mongering I have ever seen. In the wake of all the things that I just finished telling you, the things that would have made some aspects of our culture a bit fragile and on edge, then Joe Biden gives up, and gets one of the worst speeches I've ever seen. He purposely stood, remember this, in front of an eerie, low-light, red-cast backdrop. He had two uniformed Marines standing behind him, flanking the red-cast doorway that he walked out of. There were odd camera angles that were often looking up at him as he waved his hands and angrily shouted down anybody who dared to oppose what he knows to be his truth. He used taxpayer dollars and the seal of his great office and the presence of the U.S. military to basically abandon every possible conflict of interest and give a purely partisan political speech that was designed to do nothing except foment discord and insult anybody who disagreed with his politics. And all it did was set the nation on edge. Now keep in mind, he did not walk out into this as an impromptu setting. He didn't show up on somebody else's podcast and that was the set. No, they designed this. This was all designed with malice aforethought by handlers who believed that he needed to be seen as the strong man. And in my opinion, he was actually seen as evil. A word that I rarely use, by the way. I try not to. I reserve it for the most egregious character designations that I can think of. But that speech, where he stood up there with all the red cast lights and everything else, yelling and railing his hands, waving his hands in the air, that was an evil speech. It was an effort for him to be seen as the man. And Joe Biden came across as an evil individual being spirited along by some dangerous winds. And as he railed that anybody who supported President Trump and what he calls the MAGA agenda should be considered dangerous and an actual threat to democracy, a threat to our very way of life, he said. As he gave this well-rehearsed, well-orchestrated rebuke, He was basically openly threatening 71 million people who did not vote for him. Joe Biden abandoned all of his self-proclaimed moniker of uniter-in-chief, and he became the alarmist-in-chief, intent not only just dividing our society, but of fracturing it under penalty of persecution from the office of the presidency. Every asset available to government. But we didn't buy it, did we? No, we didn't. We did a whole lot better than a lot of the people who heard the War of the Worlds broadcast in 1938. Yeah, 87 years ago this month. We didn't pack up the car, grab the dog, and head for the hills, did we? No, we did not. We went to the polls and we voted. You see, there was an alternative message, one that we will not be divided, one that says we will not be cowed down, we will not be silent, and that there are actually more of us than there are of them. There's no more mass formation psychosis on this one. We could see the truth and we could walk in it. So I'm saying it. I'm continuing to say it. You keep your heads on a swivel. Keep your emotions clear. And isn't it refreshing, by the way, to finally have somebody back in the White House who understands the value of speaking affirmatively and of giving hope instead of despair. Hope versus despair. I mean, seriously. Thanks versus threats. War of the Worlds versus War of the Words. And by the way, I hope somebody fired whoever it was in the White House that thought that creepy Biden speech was a good idea. It was as bad as War of the Worlds in 1938. And that's a wrap for the Right Side Way.
When someone you love is facing cancer, you want to do more than send a card or flowers that will wilt in a week. You want to actually help. That's where the Balm Box comes in. Our care packages are built from research with over 500 cancer patients and caregivers, packed with items people actually use during treatment. Think soothing, practical, thank goodness I have this kind of relief. For you, it's not just a gift. It's a way to show up in a moment where words fall short. For them, it's comfort, calm, and a reminder they're not alone. From chemo-friendly boxes to mastectomy recovery kits, even options for men, we've made it simple to give something that's elegant, premium, and genuinely useful. And yes, domestic shipping's always free on orders over $50, because making someone feel cared for shouldn't be complicated. So skip the empty get well soon. Send real help, real comfort, and maybe even a laugh. Visit thebalmbox.com. That's thebalmbox.com. Balm, like healing and care. The Balm Box. Because cancer patients don't need bouquets and brownies. They need balm.